Hey guys, I hope everything's going great. This week was an awesome week. We had a really good week, and well, I guess I'll skip to the best part was that yesterday we had the baptism of Jason, which was really cool. Today he came to church in the white shirt that we gave him, so we got him a white shirt and a tie, and he came to church in his white shirt and his tie and everything, and he went and got confirmed. And it's pretty crazy because like 2 weeks ago with Davidson, in like the first week that he was here, we went and we talked to him, and one day he just basically asked us to never come back because he felt like he could never change and that we couldn't do anything to help him. And that next day, I misplaced my umbrella. Instead of putting it in my bag, I put it on top of my fan next to my bed, which I don't know why I put it there or why I left it there or how I missed seeing it when I realized it was gone. But I thought I must have left it in someone's house that I had gone that day. So we went back to everyone's house that I had gone that day, and we got back to Jason's house, and I probably already told you guys this, but yeah, we got back to his house and we knocked on the door and everything, and I just asked, oh, sorry, we're just passing by real quick to see if my umbrella's here. And he's like, I don't think so, but here, come inside, I want to talk to you guys a little bit. So we got inside and he basically told us, like, I didn't think I was going to see you guys again because I basically told you not to come back, but what you guys were saying is true, that you guys are representatives of Jesus Christ, and that this is my opportunity to change, and that I shouldn't let it pass me by, and I know that you guys are here to give me an opportunity now. I know that you're sent from God because I didn't think I was going to see you again, and you're here. And so from that time, we've been passing by almost every other day trying to help him so that he could stop smoking and drinking alcohol, stuff like that. And like, we didn't really focus a whole lot on just teaching him the word of wisdom. We kind of just read a chapter with him every day that we passed by of the Book of Mormon, and it got to the point where we would get there and he'd leave and he'd bring out his Book of Mormon and he'd say, okay, let's read, and we'd start reading, and he would always ask us, like, what is our favorite part, and then he'd tell us what he liked. And so it was pretty cool. And so yeah, and then I'll tell you what happened this week and how we progressed with him. First was last Monday, which basically, I think I already told you everything. We went to try to go get the prescription, and they wouldn't do it because you have to buy glasses, and they don't do contacts, and they don't give prescriptions out, and all kinds of rules and stuff. But yeah, it's pretty ridiculous. But then after that, we went and we had a really good family home evening with the Familia Bonilla, which I don't know if I've talked about them before, but they're awesome. They're our lunch seat, so they give us lunch every day. We pay for it, but they give us lunch every day. And Brian is a member of this family. He's the 13-year-old that's almost as tall as me. And well, yeah, it's crazy that he's not like 16 or 17 or whatever. We've actually done splits with him before, which, I mean, you're probably not supposed to do because he's 13, but it was necessary at that moment, and it worked out. But yeah, he's awesome. He helps us out a lot, and we're always joking around with him. And then there's two older sisters, one that's like 22, and one that's like 19. Samantha, they pronounce it a little bit differently here, and Selene. And the dad is the second counselor in the bishopric, and the mom's the Relief Society president. And so they're awesome, and Familia Coney, we hadn't seen for like 3 days. They just kind of disappeared, and so we didn't go to their house that night because normally they need us or they don't do family home evening. It's kind of annoying because they don't do much unless we push them to do it. But and they're all members, but whatever. But yeah, so we went there, and basically we just all went in a circle and shared our testimonies, and me and Davidson had bought brownie mix from one of the super expensive, like, American grocery stores, and so we made some brownies with them. They got to try brownies, and it was pretty good. I think I have pictures, so you'll probably see that tomorrow, too. So yeah, that was our Monday. Tuesday, we had a big multi-zone meeting in the morning. And so that's in our chapel, because our chapel is where the office of the mission is. So basically everything happens there. So at least we don't have to go that far, and we know which buses to take and everything. And the multi-zona was pretty normal. Lots of talking about how we need to clean our houses, which is normal. And I think that this change, instead of doing interviews like normal, they're going to everyone's house and inspecting the house and then doing interviews there. So that should be interesting, especially because the elders from before have left papers and like there's three old area books, and they're all filled with papers and stuff from like 2010, 2012. There's bags full of sheets and old clothes, and these clothes are tiny. It's like baby clothes, and it was for a missionary, so this missionary must have been super short. It's ridiculous. Like, we're giving his clothes away to like 12-year-olds. But yeah, so there's a ton of stuff, and so we're probably gonna, well, I think we'll have it clean by the time they start coming to all the houses. But yeah, a lot of normal stuff. I gotta see Fipo, my dad, and that's cool. He's a ZL now, which is awesome. He's in one of the neighboring Managua district or zones. And I also got to see my son, who's in the same zone called Via Flor. And he's in the most dangerous area in the entire mission called Reparto Chic. And so, yeah, that's cool. I got to see them both. And, oh, yeah, this is pretty funny. So they gave us a really awful lunch at the multi-zone. It was horrible. It was like even worse than normal Nika food. And normally in the multi-zonas, they're supposed to give us like really good food. Subway, Pizza Hut, stuff like that. So everyone was really bummed. And there's a guy in our zone named Elder Cook. And he's dying this change. He's finishing up. This is a side note, but he's had 29 comps. Basically, every change in his entire mission, he's been emergency changed. And for no reason. Like, he's an obedient guy, but he just has gotten all these changes all the time. It sounds pretty awful. But anyway, he comes up to us and he's like, yeah, this won't do it. I think we need to leave. We're like, what? Because they give us about 45 minutes to have lunch. So eating the horrible lunch took like 15 minutes. And so there's still like 25 minutes left. He's like, we need to go. And so we're like, well, okay. So we leave, and we thought we were going to go to a pulperia, which is just like a little store that they sell, like, chips and food. I don't know. Not a grocery store. It's just like something that people sell from their houses. I've probably explained that before, but yeah. I thought we were just going to go to one of those. We get outside, and there's moto taxis, where they have, like, a cart attached to the front of a motorcycle. They take you places and whatever. And so we get out there, and Cook goes up to the moto taxi, and he's like, take us to Pizza Hut. We're like, what? And the guy's like, okay, I'll get on. And so there was five people. And so we had like three people sitting in the cart, one person sitting on top of the people in the cart. And we had one person sitting behind the guy on the motorcycle. And we just went to Pizza Hut. And it was pretty funny because we just ditched a multi-zona in the middle of the meeting, like during the time that they had given us the break. We just start speeding over to Pizza Hut. And it was like 2 minutes in this moto taxi, but he charged us 50 cords, which is ridiculous. 10 cords each person, which probably doesn't sound very ridiculous to you guys because that's 33 cents for each person, but it's a lot of money. And so we get out and we go into Pizza Hut, and Cook and another guy named Elder Johnson, who we're really good friends. He's in one of the farther areas in the other district. But he's going to be going to BYU. He already went to BYU. He's going to be going to BYU when he gets back. And he's always talking about how great it was and how excited he is to go back. And he's a cool dude. He keeps inviting me to go with him to his cabin when we get back and we're going to BYU. So that's pretty cool. I almost said dope. A lot of the missionaries, two of the missionaries in the zone, the English missionaries, say dope all the time. So now I've started saying dope. But yes. And so Cook and Johnson, they both like run in the place and they ordered three family-sized pizzas, which is I think it came out to be $50 or something like that with the taxes and everything. Three family-sized pizzas and a box of cinnamon sticks. And it was like 15 minutes to go until the multi-zona started again. And so we were just all waiting in Pizza Hut, and it was taking forever. And we got the pizza with 2 minutes left. And we had gotten calls from our ZL saying, like, where are you guys? It's starting. And so we got back, and there was no moto taxi to take us back. So we just started running. And so we figured it was probably a pretty funny sight because we were all white. And so it was five Americans running with three family-sized pizzas and cinnamon sticks down the road, just like running at their top speed in white shirts and pants. And in fact, I think we even had a Nika guy like start joining us. He started like yelling at us, and he started running with us as a joke, I think. I don't know what he was doing, but it was a spectacle for the Nikas. So we get back to the multi-zona, and they're already starting, basically. Everyone's going back into the room, and we have three family-sized pizzas, and we still have to eat them, right? And so they put the pizzas in the kitchen and basically rerouted all the people that were going into the multi-zona. They all, like, changed directions and went into the kitchen. They all started begging us for pizza. And so everyone's, like, eating pizza and swarming around the pizza, and the multi-zona's, like, starting at the same time, and President walks by and, like, sees us. He goes, oh, so you guys didn't, you know, the lunch didn't fill you up. It doesn't really work in English, but that's what he said. And he looked kind of like, what are these guys doing? And we were just like, no. And he's like, well, I hope one of those pizzas is for me. And we're like, no. And he's like, okay. And he just, like, walks in to the multi-zona because it's starting. And then the rest of us were just outside, like, trying to eat as much pizza as we possibly could before they did, like, another opening prayer for after lunch. So that was our multi-zona story. I think it was, like, Cook's death is making him go crazy. But, yeah, it was fun. So we got a lot of pizza. Not really. I only had one piece. Everyone was just, like, eating pizza at the same time because everyone hated that lunch. But, yeah, I don't know why they bought so much pizza or why they spent so much money buying pizza, but it was fun. So then after that, we visited some of the normal people, Naomi, Patricia, which is her mom. We had Hermana Gonzalez. She's awesome. She's like an older lady who was always there at church. And every time we go by, she gives us like a juice and some chips. So it's really nice of her. So we had her take us to another house of a member that we hadn't, like, well, we had met in church, we just didn't know where she lives. And that's happened a lot. Like, there's a ton of members that I have no idea where they live or anything. Because I'm, like, Baxter was here for two changes. I was here for two changes. So there's only, like, one change overlap. So the new missionary never learns as much as the old missionary knew. So, yeah, I don't know a lot of these members. But she showed us how to get there. And so we set up a seat to come back the next day with them. And so Wednesday was interesting because it was like the Sandinista revolution anniversary. So it was the day when the Sandinista revolution happened and all the socialists were out partying and they had some big parade with the president, and basically it's just like this huge political celebration for the party that's in power over the party that's not in power. So that was interesting. There were a lot of fighting. There was no buses. All the buses, every job in the entire country like gets the day off that day. And all the buses get rerouted to go to every single town and bring as many people as they want back to the big parade. Because it's all free, and everyone's like, oh, free, free, let's go. So it's ridiculously crazy. So anyway, Our area is huge. We have the largest area in Managua. Well, in the entire mission, because Managua has the biggest areas. And so we had to walk from one end of our area to the other end of the area to meet with this family, this member that we had found where she lived the other day, the day before, the Tuesday. So we walked from 2 to like 3:45 trying to get there. And our cita was at 2:30. And we forgot that there wasn't going to be buses. And so we got there late. We weren't able to talk to Omar. And Omar's the kid who's... Well, I'll talk about him in a little bit. And so we talked to the hermana about him. Because he just started living there with the family. This kid grew up in Jinotega, which is close to Matagalpa. Like, I've been there before. It was in my old district. And basically, like, he lived with his mom and his stepfather. But his stepfather just kept, like, hitting him, stuff like that. His mom didn't stand up for him, didn't do anything. And basically, one day, he talked to one of his older brothers. And he's like, I don't want to be here anymore. Can you take me somewhere else? So he went with the older brother to live with the older brother and his 18-year-old spouse. The brother was, like, 20, and then the 18-year-old, they were living together. And I guess they were always bacchanaliando, or like partying, drugs, beer, stuff like that. So the kid goes, well, this isn't great. So he found his older sister, and he's like, I want to go with you. And so then he had his older sister take him to another place in Jinotega. They're all like outside of the cities. They're all kind of like, I don't know how to say this word in English, campesinos. So they're poor, not from the city, not really a whole lot civilized, basically. Like, they do some crazy things. And so he was basically just living with his sister and like 4 other people in this house. And they didn't give him anything but like some rice every day, some food. But they didn't give him clothes or shoes or anything. And so he had to start working to save up to buy shoes, and he bought himself a bike. And he's 14 years old, which is what they say it is. They don't have a birth certificate for him. They don't have anything for him. He's not even living with his family, because he's like, I don't want to be here either. So he asked another family that was there living in this house with these like random people. He goes, if you can get me to Managua, I'll be like thankful. I'll be able to give you some of the money I've saved up. Just get me to Managua, and then I'll leave, and I'll make something work. And this kid's 14, so he gets to Managua and he starts living in this other house with this other family that were like related to the family in the other house that he was living in. And then this hermana, the sister of the ward, lives across the street, and she used to teach school. And basically, like, he started learning from her, taking classes, because he had never gotten to study before. They would always just send him out to cut coffee or bring wood back to the house, stuff like that. So he had never gotten to study before. So now he's like studying with her, and he's studying mechanics, like auto mechanics and stuff, with her son. And now he lives in that house. And so he left the other house and he crossed the street, and now he lives with this sister of the ward. And he's gone to church for like 2 months, and he really likes it and he wants to get baptized, but they don't have a birth certificate or anything for him. So they don't really have anything but the I don't know this word in English, datos, the information that the family gave to them, like when they dropped off this kid. And so they don't have a ton to go off, and they search for him in the system, in the government system, but they couldn't find him. So they don't know if he was actually like inscribed, or I don't know how to say that word in English either. I think inscribed in the system, like he doesn't have a birth certificate, or he doesn't exist in the eyes of the government. So that's interesting. But we talked to the secretary of the mission today, and he said there isn't really a problem with using the information that the family says, because even though he might not exist to the government, he obviously exists to God, right? Because he is a person and he's living. So they said that we could just use those facts, I don't know, datos, to do the baptism. So we should be baptizing him this week now. Once we can tell the hermana that everything's okay, even if they don't have a birth certificate for him. And then, so then later that night, we walked back like another hour. We went to Jason's house, and we asked the mom for permission, which is always kind of an awkward conversation usually, because he's 17. And they always are like, what is this paper? Why do I have to sign this paper? What is the church doing? But she did it pretty well. Like, she was cool with it. She looked at it, and she asked him, like, are you sure this is what you want to do? He said, yeah. She, okay, and she signed it. And apparently she signed it before for, like, a niece of hers who got baptized or something. A lot of people here in the country have met missionaries before. So we got permission that night, and then we got dinner, which took another an hour to like walk to dinner, and then we went home. So then Thursday, we had our district meeting in the morning, and then right after the district meeting, we went into the ZLs so that they could do our baptismal interview for Jason. So we went and did that, and that got done. There was no problems, and so afterwards we went and showed the ZLs where the big supermarket is, I don't know, like the grocery store, so they could buy some things that they don't have in their area, and then they went back, and then we basically had a normal day. That night we tried searching for the camera lady, the lady, she's like 35, normal mom age. She was the one who sold me my camera in the market the other day, two P-days ago. And she's menos activo, less active, but she has a son, she told us, that isn't baptized and that she wants him to hear the lessons. And so we went there, but it was too late, so they couldn't like listen to us at that moment. So they told us to come back the next day. So yeah, that was our Thursday. The district meetings are always pretty fun. Usually I forget to assign someone to do a message, so I end up doing it. And then afterwards, we basically go through the people we're teaching and how it's going with them, and our like list of baptismal fechas that we have, which normally don't work. Like they, for the majority of the times, the people don't get baptized in the fecha that they have, but we get to talk about like who we're teaching and stuff like that. And then normally in this district, when we finish, if we have extra time, we'll play some Werewolf, which I don't know if you guys remember that game. I don't even know if I told you this, but a lot of the members here liked that game. We showed it to them. We played it with them. This was with Elder Baxter, and it got to the point where on a P-day, or a day that I went to the Seaver to do numbers or something, we actually found like cards, templates online, and we made like werewolf cards, and then just like laminated them and everything, so it's all official, and it's pretty awesome. So we use those a lot with the members and then also with the missionaries. And so after this district meeting, we played a little bit of Werewolf, which I don't know if you guys remember the game, but it's like there's some werewolves, there's some townspeople, there's a seer, a witch, things like that, and you're killing people in the night, and you have to vote on who did it in the morning. And yeah, it's pretty fun. It's better with more people because we only have 8 people in our district, but it's fun. It's something that we always do as a district, and so that's cool. Only when we have extra time, of course. So then Friday, we had a normal day. We went to Maria de la Cruz and Omar, which is the same kid. The kid is Omar, and he lives with Maria de la Cruz. And so we went there to see if they were able to take out his documents, and they were not. He didn't show up in the system, so we still didn't really know what we were going to do about that. But we visited like Naomi, Patricia, Norlan, Gigi, Sochi, some of the people that live there in the middle too, near Rafaela Herrera. And then afterwards we went and we had our cita with Elisa, Mitchell, and James, which is the Menos Activo that sold me my camera. We got to meet her whole family. They're a family of four. The dad, Mitchell, and Elisa, they're both members. And then James is 12, and they have another son, which I forgot his name, that's like four. And it's funny because James, his name is James, but in Spanish they pronounce it James. James. And I thought he was telling me that his name was Hammer, because I only heard Hammer. I was like, what do you mean your name is Hammer? So now I don't forget his name, but at first I thought it was Hammer. But we showed up and they were really cool. The mom has been a member for like 13, 14 years. She knows a lot. I don't know why they stopped going to the church, but we got the mom and the son to commit to going to church again. And the dad couldn't. The dad's kind of crazy. I don't know. Like, we explained to him that we can't go swimming or stuff like that, or that we can't have normal phones, and he's like, wow, you know, the church is just weird sometimes. It always has so many rules, stuff like that. He just said some questionable things in the little English that he knows, stuff like that. So it was a little awkward, but they also gave us, this was like a contact, right? Because we had never been to their house before. They gave us food, they gave us dinner, and they were going to come to the baptism on Saturday, but they weren't able to. It was funny, we finished the baptism, and I got a call from James, the 12-year-old kid. He's like, hey, we're going to come. And I was like, oh, but we already finished. He's like, oh, we didn't have the car. The car was being... And they were working on the car that my dad shares with his friend, and so we couldn't get it. He was like, yeah, well, it doesn't really matter now. Like, you won't be able to come, so we finished it, and we're closing up the church. He's like, okay, but we can still come tomorrow, right? I was like, yeah, we'll wait for you at church. And so that was cool. And he wants to get baptized. He's like, yeah, I want to get baptized. And we're like, awesome, we'll just have to teach you, and you have to go to church a little bit so that you can get prepared. So we think we're going to baptize him in 2 weeks. Not this Saturday, but the next. So that's awesome. So yeah, we saw a lot of like miracles this week with these two kids that are like 12 and 14. Really cool. And so then Saturday in the morning, we were looking for clothes for Jason, white clothes for the baptism. And I ended up cleaning for like 3 hours, all of these old area books and sheets and pillows and all this nasty stuff that they had piled up into like five big black bags and put in the back room. So that was interesting, but we found some clothes that would work. We found a shirt that's really small, and so we checked to make sure it would work, and then we gave it to Jason as like a present so that you can start going to church in his white shirt. We also gave him a tie. So that was awesome. So we passed by Jason to make sure that he knew at what time it was gonna happen, to make sure his family would still be able to go. We passed by a couple of members to see if they could come to the baptism. And then we got all the ropa. Did I say ropa before? I don't know. The clothes, we got all the clothes together. And we came back to the house and we got everything. We were in the bus going to his house to get him. We were on time. We had made good time that day. It was like 5:45. The baptism was scheduled for 6:30. And we realized that we had left his clothes in the house. We had grabbed mine, but not his. And so we had to get off the bus, take a bus back, and then we had to get the clothes, and we had to take a taxi back to his house, and we were still late. We got there at like 6:20. Then we had to wait for him and his mom. And then the sister was like mad because she wanted to change. So the sister didn't want to come, so then the sister got left behind. So it was all just kind of stressful, and we got there at like 6:45, and they're the missionaries. That doesn't work in English. In Spanish, everything's gender coordinated, so I can say missionaries, and you can know that I'm talking about the sister missionaries. So the sister missionaries showed up with two of their investigators so that they could have the opportunity of seeing the baptism, and then we also had some members there waiting for us that had filled up the pila, the font, and so they were waiting for us. And we got there a little bit late. We changed real fast, and I think we started the baptism about 7:15, and it went really well. I was able to share a cool like demonstration about baptism. I took a like purple Tang, so it's like grape flavored stuff that you put in water. I put it in water and it turned it all black, right? And I talked about how it's kind of like in this world we make bad decisions, we mess up, and we kind of make ourselves dirty by messing up, by not being perfect, but that with baptism we can be clean again. And I put in some, I don't know what this is called in English. In Spanish it's cloro, like chlorine. Oh, bleach. I think it's bleach. So I poured in bleach to the water, a couple of drops, and it changes it back to its clear, like how it was at the beginning, to clear and everything. So it was pretty cool. One of the sister missionaries gave the message, and then I was able to do the baptism for Jason. He wanted me to do it, and so that was really cool because we've been teaching him for a long time. And then afterwards, we closed up the church and we took everyone back to their houses and went home. So it was an awesome day. And then this morning we went, basically, well, we had a lot of people that said they wanted to go to church. Normally you have to go pass by for every one of them, but we have some pretty cool investigators that and members that are helping us out. And basically, like, we had no one that we had to pass by except for Jason to bring him to his confirmation. So we got to Jason's house at like 7:30 to bring him to his confirmation at 8. And he took an hour longer to get ready, because he wanted to put on his white shirt, and he wanted to tie his tie, and he wanted to put on his perfume, all this stuff. So we left his house at like 8:30. We got there, we were waiting for a bus, and it didn't come, so we had to take a taxi, which is super expensive. We got there at like 8:45, and like at the end of sacrament meeting. But we got his confirmation in the sacrament meeting at the end, so that was good. And we also had a lot of investigators come to the church. We had Gigi, who's the friend of Nornland, and we're trying to get her to accept a baptismal date because she has been going for like 2 months, and she goes to institute and all this stuff. Also, Omar with Maria came. Georgeson came with his wife. Today we had a cita with him after church, trying to put a baptismal date with him, and he kept kind of like, oh, I don't know, but we're hoping that if he... We committed him to pray every night about it with his wife to see if it's something that he should do. So that was cool. He came on his own. James came with his mom. So Elisa, the menos activa, she came with her son. So we got an investigator, and we also got a menos activa. Naomi and Patricia were gonna come, but I don't know what happened. They weren't there. So maybe we know that they were gonna be busy at like 10. So they were only gonna come for an hour, but they didn't come. But yeah, so that was good. After church, we ate. We had that appointment with Jorson and Evelyn, his wife. Evelyn's the daughter of Coney. So yeah, we were talking to them, and we were trying to put a baptismal date, with Jorson. And he didn't really accept, but he's going to pray about it, and he's going to tell us that next Sunday when he comes to church, like, how he feels about it. Because he lives a little bit outside of our area, so normally we just teach him on Sunday when he's there with the family. So yeah, and then afterwards we went with Michael and Wendy, and basically it was really weird appointment. Like, Wendy doesn't want to get married at all. They have two kids. They've been together 7 years since Wendy was 13. So welcome to Nicaragua. But she still doesn't want to get married. He wants to get married, but then he doesn't know if he wants to get baptized because he accidentally started drinking again, all kinds of problems and stuff. And so, yeah. So we'll see. They asked us to help them this Tuesday that comes up to paint their door and their windows or something. So we're going to help them with that. Michael is another son of Coney. And then afterwards, we went to the first counselor of the bishopric's house, which I had never been there before. But so we kind of wandered around for a while. We found out that there's a Pizza Hut in our area and another La Colonia, which is the big grocery store. So that was pretty cool. And we found his house. We talked to his family a little bit. And then we came here. And I did the call with the APs, the assistant to the president, about the district. And I planned, tomorrow we're going to have a district P-Day activity. And so I planned an activity. We're going to play some, like, board games, like Clue and stuff. I'm going to bring Spikeball. And we're just going to kind of chill in the church for, like, 2 or 3 hours with the district. And then we're going to, like, order some pizza or some chicken sandwiches or something. We're going to get food and then finish our, like, P-Day separate. So that should be fun. It's always fun to be with the other missionaries on P-Days. So in our district, there's us, Ruben Darío. It's the biggest area in Managua. And it's up towards the northeast, I think, part of it, side of it, where the Mayoreo is. I don't know if you guys can see any of this on the map, but it's between the Mayoreo and Multicentro. And then we have Las Mercedes, which is a little bit to the north, towards the lake, the huge lake, and that's the Hermanas. And then Las Americas are the other elders, and they're like a little bit, they're right next to the Las Mercedes, but their area is like 12 blocks, like 12 small blocks big, so it's tiny. They have almost nothing. Las Mercedes is big, and then it's us. And then way, way far away, like 40 minutes in a bus, is the ZLs. And they're called Loma Verde, and they're up by Tipitapa. And so I know for sure that us, Las Americas, and the Hermanas, we're going to go to the church and we're play games and stuff. And I think the ZLs are coming, but a little bit later because they're far away. So yeah, that's a little bit about the district and about the week. I can't think of anything more to say. This has been another huge recording, so I hope you guys enjoy all the details. It's like you're really in Nicaragua now. There's a ton more I could talk about too. We started reading, the entire mission is reading the Book of Mormon together. We're trying to read the whole thing by September 20th, I think. And we have like study journals and all that we're trying to fill out, so that's pretty cool. It's a goal that isn't just baptisms. So that's good. So yeah, that's been fun. Can't think of much else. Yeah, it was a really good week. The baptism was awesome. Today we got to take some pictures with Jason and his new shirt and everything, and that was really cool. Yeah. We're just hoping to keep on having success. There's a lot of people that have been going to church and like have been progressing, but they just don't have baptismal dates yet. So we want to work with them so they can do it, hopefully before I leave, if I leave this next change. So yeah, it's been really good. That's about all I can think of. So I hope you guys have a great week. Sorry if this is ridiculously long, but can't complain that I don't send anything now, because it's hard to email and say everything that's going on. So this is definitely better. Yeah. I think that's about all I did today. The call. Oh, I restrung my guitar. We cleaned up the house a little bit. I had some Dr. Pepper to celebrate the baptism, which is awesome. We bought a ton of Dr. Pepper and frosting and hot dogs and all kinds of stuff from La Colonia. That's been fun. We tried to make whipped cream. That didn't work. Oh, I already told you that. We tried making it again. Also didn't work. So next time we'll probably just like pay for the canned whipped cream anyway, even though it's expensive. Yeah. We still have a lot of brownies to make though. It's kind of nice having brownies. We can just go to a member's house and do a family reunion with them and throw in the brownies, and they love it. So yeah, that's everything. Miss you guys. Hope everything is going great at home. And talk to you soon. Bye.